That's stuff that gives you heart disease. That's the trans fat. Skim milk, milk fat, glycerin, lactose, more sugar. Caramel salt, more sugar. Artificial flavors, God knows what that is. Peanuts, rice, brown sugar, that's more sugar. Sugar, white sugar. Wheat, more sugar, white sugar. Salt, barley malt, more sugar. Sugar, they list sugar on here like 20 times. Salt, barley malt, that's more salt. Brown sugar again. Glycerin, that's sugar. High fructose corn syrup, again, more sugar. This is like a health bar. You got to be kidding me. This is like going to the drug pusher when he gives you this with all the sugar in here. No wonder the kid's wired out of his mind when he's on this stuff. And there are like 40 other chemicals I can't even read. Okay, let's look at the health food store one. I went to the health food store and I said, let me find a food bar here. And there's a bunch of them there that are crap as well. Just because it's the health food store doesn't mean it's good. So I go to the health food store and I pick up a food bar. Here are the ingredients. Organic almond butter. Organic date paste. Organic agave nectar. Organic brown rice protein. Organic raisins. Organic flax sprouts. Organic sesame seeds. Organic brown rice crisps. Which do you want to feed your kid? Which do you want to have in your purse or your bag in case you're hungry? Come on. And you said, well, there's no way that can taste as good as the stuff from the supermarket. Well, in this particular case, that thing from the supermarket is just some sugary, gooey. It tastes, you know, it's pretty addicting. But the health food store one doesn't taste bad at all. Everyone has different taste buds here, though. I have tested a lot of different food bars from the health food store that are raw, uncooked, and all natural. And there are a bunch of them that I just hated. I was like, ugh, I didn't like them. And, but there's a bunch of them that I happen to buy now that are absolutely delicious. As a matter of fact, they're so good, I can't buy that many because I'll eat them all. They're just like, they're amazingly delicious. And so unbelievably healthy. It's like eating a real apple or eating a real piece of fruit or some raw vegetables. It's that healthy for you. Let's look at another one. And you know, we hear a lot about the Atkins program in the South Beach low-carbohydrate diets, which I think are the biggest frauds and scams going in America. I actually promoted the Atkins programs on TV for 2 years before I found out the truth. Most of the senior executives in the Atkins Center are fat. Think about it. They're some of the greediest people I've ever met in my life, and all they are is in it for the money. And they know that the Atkins program is a fraud and a scam and doesn't do what they promote that it does. If you see food on there and it says Atkins approved, stay away from it. It is categorically a scam. Categorically. The whole low carbohydrate thing is a big scam, which I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but it's just not what was purported it to be. And here's an example. The Advantage Atkins bar. Atkins used to get their protein powders and their bars manufactured in Canada. And in Canada, there's a law that says you could use certain ingredients that are sugars, that are carbohydrates. You could put them in the product, and you didn't have to list them as carbohydrates on the label. That's what the Canadian law said. The American law was different. So what Atkins did was they had the stuff manufactured in Canada, and they would put 3 carbohydrates. But it really had 40 carbohydrates. And they would ship it into America, and they just flagrantly lied on the label. They would lie to you because they wanted you to buy it. They had to put sugar in it to make it taste good, but they knew that if it said 40 carbohydrates, you wouldn't buy it if you were on the Atkins program and you were watching your carbohydrates. So they just lied. They said 3 carbohydrates. The FDA finally caught them, and now you hear net carbohydrates. They paid off the government through lobbyists is how it worked. It was a huge payoff. I'm talking a huge payoff through lobbyists so that they weren't prosecuted. But it was fraud. It was categorical lie, and for those of you who are on the Atkins program, there's an excellent chance I'll be filing a class action lawsuit. And if you tried the Atkins program and had any physical problems or did not lose weight and feel like you were ripped off and lied, you may want to join me because I'm sure hopefully there'll be some type of monetary compensation to those people that were ripped off by that big fraud and lie. So go to naturalcures.com so you can register for that class action suit. But here's an example, the Atkins Advantage Bar. Soy protein isolate, hydrolyzed collagen, whey protein isolate, calcium, sodium chitinate, glycerin, polydextrose, cocoa butter, cocoa powder, water, natural coconut oil, soy nuggets, soy protein, rice flour, malt, salt, cellulose, olive oil, natural flavors, again, hundreds of chemicals, artificial flavors, could be hundreds of chemicals. Lecithin, decaffeinated coffee. Maltodextrin, gar gum, citric acid, sucralose. That's the chemical artificial sweetener that'll make you fat. But they have to put it in because now they can reduce the amount of, quote, net carbs on the cover. Try calcium phosphate, calcium carbonate, magnesium oxide, vitamin A, C, thiamine, riboflavin, a whole bunch of other ingredients in there as well. The problem here is this. Dr. Atkins actually had some of his patients on the food bars, and they were eating the Atkins food bars, and they were drinking the Atkins shake, but none of these people were losing weight, and they weren't going into ketosis. And so Atkins was you know, he didn't understand. His senior executives never told him that they were lying on the label. And so if a person were eating the Atkins product, you'd never lose weight, you'd never go into ketosis. Anyways, it's always all about the money, folks. I met these guys. It's always all about the money. Fig bars. I love fig bars. And I used to love Fig Newtons until I found a better tasting fig bar. Let's go to the supermarket and let's buy some Fig Newtons. Ingredients: wheat flour, niacin, reduced iron, thymonio something, riboflavin, figs preserved with sculpturate dioxide, sugar, that's the white powder sugar, corn syrup, which is more sugar, high fructose corn syrup, which is more sugar. If they put all the sugars together, it'd probably be number one on the ingredient list. That's how much sugar is in this product. Hydrogenated soybean oil, that's the trans fat that gives you heart disease. Maltic acid, salt, baking soda, calcium lactate, yellow corn flour, soy lecithin, potassium sorbate, artificial flavors, again, hundreds of chemicals probably there, malted barley flour. A lot of junk in Fig Newtons. Forget how it's processed. Forget how everything has been stripped of its nutritional value and energetically screwed up. Forget that. Just read the ingredients and it's bad enough. When you consider all the other things, you can't imagine how bad it is. Okay, fig bars at the health food store. Ingredients: organic whole wheat flour, organic figs, organic honey, grape or pear juice, canola oil, cornstarch, molasses, malt syrup, sea salt, cultured whey, lecithin, and baking soda. See the difference? It's unbelievable. And then taste them side by side and then see how you feel. There's no comparison. The major things here are hydrogenated oils that are in the supermarket brand, which gives you heart disease. And virtually everything, if you notice, has the high fructose corn syrup, which is not in the health food variety. We can go on and on and on and on and on. I'm just going to give you a couple more. Protein or meal replacement shakes. This is, again, one of the biggest scams going. The supermarket, one of the most common is Slim Fast. I believe, again, like the Atkins program, one of the biggest frauds perpetrated on poor people that are trying to lose weight. Here are the ingredients of Slim Fast meal replacement shake. Ingredients: white powdered sugar, fructose, which is more sugar, cocoa processed with alkali, whey protein concentrate, soy protein isolate. Remember we talked about that, how dangerous that is? Gum, arabic cellulose gel, sweet dairy whey, non-fat dry milk, and again, any dairy that's in here is from genetically modified cows, probably loaded with growth hormone and antibiotics and all types of problems. Powdered cellulose, gar gum, soybean lecithin, carrageenan, dextrose, which is more sugar, cellulose gum, soy fiber, modified cornstarch, xanthide gum, maltodextrin, artificial flavors, aspartame, NutraSweet. They put aspartame in here. Why? They got sugar as the first ingredient. They got fructose as the first ingredient. Why are they putting aspartame in, the artificial sweetener? Could it be because it makes you fat, gets you physically addicted? Makes you hungrier? Ha 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 ha. These tricky guys at the food companies. All to make money. Calcium phosphate, magnesium oxide, calcium carbonate, sodium ascorbate, vitamin E, para something, niacinamide, zinc. There's probably 20 other ingredients here. Rather than go on, I can't pronounce them anyway. Let's look at the health food store. Here's one that I use. Protein powder. Ingredients: 100% raw, certified organic hemp protein powder. That's it. That's the only ingredient in this particular product. I happen to think is outstanding. It's basically just 100% raw, certified organic hemp protein powder. It's incredible. Another one, a meal replacement shake. Here are the ingredients. Organic spirulina, which is a wonderful, vibrant green algae, which is incredibly healthy for you. Organic blue-green algae, organic calora algae, barley, alfalfa, organic wheat grasses, which are barley grass, alfalfa grass, and wheat grass, organic purple seaweed, organic beetroot, organic spinach leaf, organic rose hips, organic orange, and lemon peels. See the difference? Here's another protein powder that I use. Organic fermented soy protein, organic skim milk, organic yogurt powder, and organic raw honey. Can you see the difference? There's just no comparison between the two. I could do hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comparisons between a brand name supermarket product to its almost identical counterpart purchased from a health food store and manufactured by a small independent company. There are huge differences between what is available in standard supermarkets and what is available in health food or whole food type stores. Keep in mind, again, you must read the ingredients yourself. Make it a habit. Just because it's in a health food store or a whole food type store doesn't mean it's good for you. Read the labels. When you purchase wisely, you will be buying products that have almost no toxins, have far much more nutrition, taste better, make you feel better, won't give you gas, bloating, headaches, spaciness, constipation, etc., won't make you hungrier, aren't designed to make you fat, will not get you physically addicted, and most importantly, I think, you'll be supporting small, independent, and in many cases, local people who are trying to produce products that taste great and are good for people in their community. You're not supporting multinational corporations whose sole objective is to make money at your expense. When you go to your local supermarket and buy brand name products or products from major publicly traded food corporations or products that you see advertised all the time, you're supporting those multinational companies that, in my opinion, are hurting local growers and independent farmers and causing massive amounts of illness and disease, not only in America, but in countries around the world. In my opinion, these large multinational corporations are exploiting and taking advantage of people through their clever use of advertising, and in my opinion, totally deceptive advertising. And they're allowed to lie and deceive in their advertising by the government. They're knowingly giving us food filled with chemicals that increase our appetite, get us physically addicted, and make us fat, all in the name of profit. Remember, I'm not being fanatical in telling you to eat only raw, uncooked fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds. I am saying to take some little steps. Go at a pace that's right for you. Many of you simply are totally unwilling to change any of your eating habits, and that's fine. Some of you like your hot dogs smothered with mustard and ketchup and onions, and nothing's going to change that. That's fine. Eat your hot dog. Enjoy it. But consider, instead of buying the buns and the hot dogs and the mustard and ketchup at the supermarket, why don't you get some incredibly delicious hot dog buns from the local health food store or the Whole Foods store? They'll taste better, they'll have virtually no toxins in it, and be packed full of nutrition. Don't buy the bread that has, don't buy the hot dogs with the name brand on it, filled with nitrites and maize from diseased animal parts that would make you sick if you saw them being processed. Instead, get an organic, nitrite-free hot dog. Ideally, one that's made with prime cuts of beef instead of the beef parts. They taste better. Buy some organic mustard and ketchup and enjoy your hot dogs. They'll taste better and you'll feel better. I mean, I like ketchup. I've always liked ketchup. But when you look at the label of ketchup, it's really just sugar. It's mostly sugar, but not white powdered sugar, high fructose corn syrup, the sugar that gets you physically addicted. Even one of the major manufacturers now, Heinz Ketchup, has an organic Heinz ketchup. It's hard to find, but I found it in my community. You compare the Heinz ketchup, which I grew up on, which tastes great, but it's I just wouldn't eat it now. And you compare that to the ingredients in the organic Heinz ketchup. There's no comparison. And I respect the Heinz Corporation for doing that. Because they've really taken a big step as a major publicly traded company to do something and come up with an organic alternative. The taste, by the way, you can't tell the difference. The way you feel afterwards, you can tell the difference. The organic one, you feel better. The other one, you're on the sugar high and you're all spacey because of the high fructose corn syrup, which is really a drug. If you like your snack food, that's fine. Go to the health food store and try various kinds of what you would call snack food. I call junk. To munch on. Many of them are very sweet and incredibly tasty. Tastes will vary, so try different kinds to see which ones you like. As I wrote these words, now I'm reading out of my book now, but when I wrote this, I purchased 5 different sweet snacks at the health food store. The first one has 4 ingredients. Pure raw carob, which is kind of like chocolate, coconut, pure cane crystals, pure maple syrup. All the ingredients are organic, all have not been cooked, they're raw, and they're all real living food. They're tons of enzyme. They tasted incredible. I mean, outrageously delicious. Another one has the ingredients raw organic sunflower seeds, raw organic raisins, raw organic bananas, raw organic maple syrup, and fennel. They are sweet and I'm telling you, these things were absolutely delicious, better tasting than any candy bar you could buy. Another one was this incredible almond brittle made from raw almonds, pure vanilla beans, and crystals of pure cane. Again, very simple, all natural, raw, toxic-free ingredients. Here's the best part. What I did was I took this brittle, and just to see how I would feel, I ate this huge bag of this almond brittle all in one sitting, just to see how, you know, if it was going to make me, if you ate a big bag of that, let's see how you would feel. I didn't feel bloated. I didn't get a sugar rush. I didn't have a spike in my mood. I felt great. And I slept like a dog. I slept all night through, like just deep sleep. Fantastic. If I had done the same thing with some almond or peanut brittle that I purchased at the local grocery store, you know, the ones that are loaded with chemicals and the high fructose corn syrup and all that crap, I would have felt so horrible. I would have been bloated, gassy. I would have tossed and turned and had nightmares all night. You know what I'm talking about. Just remember that name brand products and large multinational publicly traded corporations are investing tens of millions of dollars in research to find out what the hot buttons are to get you to buy their stuff. Don't believe their slick, deceptive ads. And don't believe what's written on the front of the package. You simply are being deceived. Read the ingredients and remember as you read them that many toxins that were used in the processing of the food are nowhere even close to being listed on the label of the ingredients. And many toxins that are actually put in the food on purpose do not have to be listed. They can be put under one of these other titles. It's estimated that over 95% of all food purchased has as many as 300 chemicals added to each product that are not listed on the label. It's scary but true. This is the power of the food industry and the lobbyists. If you want to eliminate sickness and disease, if you want to prevent sickness and disease, if you want to be thin, then you must increase the amount of raw, uncooked, organic food in your diet. The only way you can do this is to stay away from the supermarket. So the general rule of thumb is do all your shopping at a local farmer's market and make sure that all of your fruits, vegetables, herbs, nuts, and seeds are 100% certified organic and raw. When purchasing your food products, avoid the supermarket at all costs and buy your food products from your local health food or whole food type store. If the product is manufactured by a large publicly traded corporation, or if it's a well-known brand name, or if it's heavily advertised on television, avoid it. Lastly, and most importantly, whenever you buy anything, read the ingredients. Now let's talk about restaurants. I'm often questioned about eating in restaurants. It's important to know a restaurant is not a restaurant is not a restaurant. All restaurants are not the same. There are vast differences between the kinds of restaurants you go to. And I'm not talking about the kind of food. I'm talking about the kind of restaurant. Virtually all restaurants have the following problems. In order to make a profit, they have to buy the cheapest food available. Restaurants get their food primarily from large bulk food suppliers that supply hundreds of restaurants in a given area. Much of the food you eat in any restaurant has not even been cooked at that restaurant, but rather it has been simply finished off or heated up at the restaurant. It gets worse with restaurants that are vast in number, such as franchises, chains, and fast food. Most restaurants use microwave ovens to reheat the food right before serving. Most restaurants, like large food manufacturers, use frying oil all day, and in many cases for days on end. The problem with this is once you heat the oil for frying, it goes rancid in a very short period of time. All the food coming out of the rancid oil is highly carcinogenic. It gives you cancer. I went into a very nice restaurant and was about to order, but wanted to ask a few questions. I mean, you know, I'm not fanatical. I go by the model, I care, but not that much. I mean, so I'm not a complete fanatic. Today, for example, as I'm recording this, you know, I came into the recording studio, and I know the restaurants in the area, but I knew I'd be taking a lunch break, so guess what? I made my own lunch, you know? I have my bread, and I roasted a chicken last night on the rotisserie, so I had organic tomatoes, organic onions. I had some organic mayonnaise that I made, some sea salt, some organic pepper, and chicken, and I made a beautiful chicken sandwich. I threw in there an organic apple, which was delicious. It tasted like an apple, since I already ate my lunch. Organic banana, and a raw snack in a package that I picked up at the health food store, which I was so full after eating just even half the sandwich and the apple. See, that's what happens when you eat real food. You get full much quicker, and it's delicious. You're like going, oh, this tastes so good, you know, when I was eating my lunch. But I couldn't finish it, which is unheard of, but that's the way it works. So I walked into this restaurant, and I love fresh guacamole. I make it at my own house, and I use all raw organic ingredients, and it's absolutely delicious. I saw they had guacamole on the menu, and this was a really nice restaurant. So I asked, I said, listen, is the guacamole made fresh here? The waiter says, yes, it is. But, you know, when I say made fresh, and when he says made fresh, maybe our definitions of made fresh are two different things. So I said, so you actually take real avocados and you mash them up in the back? Or does it come in a prepackaged mix? He says, oh, well, you know, we do get a mix, but we add the water and the onions here. And we make that fresh every day. So his idea of fresh was to take the package of mix that has been sitting around for, it could be years, and to open it daily and add water, and that meant made fresh. You understand? It was really funny. So it wasn't made in the back with fresh avocados, tomatoes, lime juice, onions, etc. Instead, it came in a powdered mix in which water was added. When I asked what the and then I wanted to play with the guy just a hair. I wasn't like being fanatical, but I wanted to kind of educate him. So I said, you know what's in the, what ingredients are in the mix? And of course, he didn't have any idea. Then I kind of persuaded him to go into the back and find the package and bring it out so we could look at the ingredient list. There were 36 ingredients on this label, including monosodium glutamate. Surprise, surprise, surprise. I asked if the salad was fresh. He thought for a moment and said, no, it actually comes in bags that have been prepackaged and made airtight. So I don't know how long it's been since that stuff was actually picked. It could have been weeks or months. See, the problem with this, of course, is that in order to retain freshness, the fresh salad has to be sprayed with chemicals so it continues to look pretty. I asked if the chicken was fresh or did it come prepackaged or frozen. Not surprisingly, it was prepackaged, pre-made, pre-frozen. Virtually all the sauces, all the mixes, all the flavoring agents came in boxes, cans, jars, or packages. This is the main problem with restaurant food So what do? Well, listen, you can be a fanatic and not eat in any restaurant, unless it's an all-natural, totally organic restaurant. Or you can simply eat really well at home and stay away from chains, franchises, and fast food as best you can. When you go to a good quality restaurant, simply ask if you can tour the kitchen and see some of the food being prepared. Most managers welcome this. It will give you a chance to meet the manager and the owner or the chef and inquire about how the different dishes are made. It's fun, number one. It's interesting. And you can see which one you'd be probably using the highest quality, freshest ingredients, so you can order wisely. Or you can simply ask to eliminate things. For example, I happen to like fried chicken wings. I make them at home myself. My mother taught me how to do it. I think they're spectacular. We get organic chicken wings. And what I do is I wash them down with water. All the water coming into my house is filtered, so there's no fluoride, there's no chlorine. So I turn on the spigot and I wash up the organic chicken with the water. I pat it dry. And then I lightly dust it in organic whole wheat flour with a little sea salt, organic black pepper, and some garlic salt. I gently then fry them in a little bit of extra virgin olive oil. And they're absolutely delicious. You can't believe just how good they are. It's so simple, but it's so good. Now, when I go to a restaurant, I know that most of the chicken wings are purchased prepackaged. They're pre-breaded, and they're simply thrown into some rancid oil in a fryer later, and then smothered with sauce that came that was prepackaged, that usually has huge amounts of monosodium glutamate. Usually it's in the breading as well as the sauce. So I just don't eat chicken wings in restaurants. You follow me? So I just know that it's virtually impossible to get a healthy chicken wing in a restaurant. So I say, okay, fine. When I go to a restaurant, I just won't eat chicken wings because I know it's virtually impossible to get. So I ask a few questions and make some intelligent choices. Just remember, you have to care, but not that much. Don't be too fanatical. Just do what's good for you. You have to do what you feel good about and happy about and not be stressed out about when you make your decisions. Now, I have a close friend of mine who's not only a vegetarian, but she eats only raw, uncooked food. So she's a raw foodist. Okay? She's not stressed out or fanatical about it. That's just what she eats. We went to a restaurant and I ordered some salmon sushi. I know the salmon was caught in the wild and the rice was made with pure ingredients, and I knew the owner of the place. And I also like the cucumber and onion salad they make. The fresh ginger and wasabi was delicious and made right there fresh at the restaurant. They ground up the wasabi and slice up the ginger from an organic ginger root. Now, although the restaurant doesn't use only organic ingredients, you have to understand it's a matter of degree. So my meal, you could classify it as relatively healthy. Far much, 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 much better than any fast food or chain or franchise restaurant. Not as good as what I would make at my house, but pretty darn close, okay? So it's not far from the ideal, but it's not perfect either. But at least there's no hydrogenated oils, there's no monosodium glutamate, there's no aspartame, there's not massive amounts of chemicals. So it was relatively okay. Now, my friend, being a vegetarian and a raw foodist, she had limited options. But her attitude was about what she wanted was really the key. She just simply inquired about her choices. No big deal. And she made her selections. We had a lovely conversation, and her food was virtually secondary in nature to our conversation. She wasn't stressed up. She wasn't stressed out. She wasn't uptight. She wasn't fanatical. She wasn't judgmental or pushing her ideas and values on me. Maybe someday I'll eat only raw food too. I don't know. For right now, hey, I happen to love organic lamb. I love organic chicken and turkey and beef and various kinds of cooked food. And I love to cook. The point is, knowing all this information doesn't mean you have to do it all in order to receive huge benefits. Even if you do just a little of some of the things I talk about, you will receive a huge amount of benefit. Those benefits include less disease, less sickness. Many of your symptoms will be going away if you apply these techniques. Many of your allergies will go away. Pains will go away. Arthritis could go away. Allergies, acid reflux, cancer, heart disease can be reversed. Impotence, infertility, the aging process can be slowed down and reversed. You can sleep better. You'll lose weight. Your skin, your hair, your nails will all look better. Even making some simple modifications and changes to your diet can have dramatic impact on your health. Read food labels. Okay, chapter 10. Not convinced? I love when I wrote this chapter because at this point I had a lot of people involved in the book, and some people just, you know, still weren't 100% convinced on some of the premises. And, you know, everything I talk about and I write about, there are some basic premises from which the conclusions are built. And the most basic is that the first premise is that there are, in fact, all natural, non-drug and non-surgical cures for virtually every disease. There are natural, non-drug and non-surgical ways to prevent you from virtually ever getting sick. Or if you do get a cold or a flu or something, the duration is going to be very small and the severity is going to be very small. So those are the first two basic premises. Next is that there are, in fact, many organizations, including the FDA, which is the Food and Drug Administration, the FTC, the pharmaceutical industry, the associations like the American Heart Association, the American Medical Association, the American Lung Association, the American Cancer Society, the foundations, the charities, and the news media that are working diligently together, in many cases, to prevent you from hearing or learning about this information and about the truth. The news media itself, including newspapers, magazines, television, and radio, are biased toward the pharmaceutical industry and drugs and surgical methods and present half-truths and outright lies in relation to healthcare. If you haven't been persuaded yet, then consider some thought-provoking ideas. Number one. Still not convinced it's all about the money? Then consider this. It's been reported that corporate corruption is at an all-time high. There's more corporate fraud going on around the world than ever before in history. Schools get $500 for every student that they have on the drug Ritalin. This gives a major incentive for schools to diagnose children with attention deficit disorder and demand or require the child be put on the drug. Reality shows are at an all-time high in terms of viewership. The producers make money by helping to create as much pain and misery for the contestants as possible. One of the biggest producers of reality television has been quoted as saying, "There is appeal in other people's misery." All in the name of money and greed do these producers victimize the participants of reality television. In many cases, the contestants leave the show permanently emotionally scarred for life from their horrific experience on the reality TV show. The producers simply don't care. All they care about is how much money they will make at the expense of other people's lives. It seems very similar to ancient Rome, doesn't it? When people were entertained by watching other human beings being fed to lions. It is a sad state of affairs that greed seems to be at an all-time high in America. Communities, for example, make so much money on speeding tickets that the government refuses to put limiters on cars, even though they know it would save over 100,000 people a year from death or injury. Think about it. You could save 100,000 people a year from death or injury by doing a simple thing. But they can't do it. They can't put a limiter on a car. They won't do it. See, it would cost the oil companies huge profits. They have a law that says you have to wear your seatbelt. Therefore, cars have to have seatbelts installed. That's the law. There's a law limiting the amount of emissions cars can give out. Therefore, cars have to have emission control devices like catalytic converters and do other things to limit emissions. There is a law that says you can't, under any circumstances, exceed the national speed limit. Why, then, are cars not required to have limiters on them so that they don't go faster than the national speed limit? Think about it. If the national speed limit is 75, how can you buy a car that goes 150? because it's illegal to go past 75 under any circumstances. So why are cars allowed to go faster? The answer is, if you were to put limiters on cars, which doesn't cost the auto manufacturers virtually anything, if you did, then every car purchase, it can go from 0 to 75 as quickly as it wants to, but it can't go higher. But what would happen is hundreds of millions of dollars in speeding tickets wouldn't be written, which means the communities would lose that additional revenue. More importantly, the oil companies would lose billions in profits because of reduction in gas consumption. But over 100,000 people a year would not die or have serious injury. Why not do it? Criminals would always be chased by the cops, and the cops would catch them because the cars that the criminals had can't go over 75, but the cop cars can. So you'd always catch the bad guy. Do you understand it's all about the money? Email scamming could be stopped tomorrow. All Congress has to do is pass a law forbidding credit card companies from processing the credit cards that come from spam email. And any credit card company that processed a payment from spam email would have severe fines or loss of the right to process credit cards in the future or jailing the executives. The credit card companies would then take the responsibility of knowing their customers and finding out how those businesses were generating sales. Email spamming would stop in 24 hours. The policing action is simple. All the government has to do is order a product from some spam email it receives, which it gets every day, right? Charge the credit card. And when the credit card bill comes in, just find out what the credit card company is. And then just go right to the credit card company and say, listen, you charged my credit card for this company that sent me spam. You're in violation. It's easy. But why isn't it being done? Because the credit card companies make tens of millions of dollars in profits processing business from spam emails. They don't want spamming to stop. So they've lobbied Congress, and Congress won't pass the laws that hurt the companies that give them the money. See, they go to Congress and go, look, you know, you can talk about how bad spamming is, but really don't do anything about it. Because if you do, we'll lose all this money. No problem. So then they go, we are taking aggressive action against spamming. No, you're not. You're lying. You're doing nothing because your buddies who own Visa and MasterCard and American Express are making hundreds of millions of dollars processing all the spam credit card sales. Think about it. Still not convinced it's all about the money? Self-serve gas stations were set up so the corporations could simply make more money. And we all fell into that stupid trap, didn't we? Remember, we used to be able to drive into a gas station and somebody would come up, wash they used to check the air in the tires, check the oil, wash the windows, and fill up with petrol, with gasoline. Remember? And we decided to accept the self-serve stations. We're paying full price now. We're still paying the same price just so that the gas companies can make more money. When calling a company, still not convinced it's all about the money? When calling a company, many people have experienced not having the phone answered by a real person, but rather some voice-activated system with several menu options. Many people know that you can call a company and be asked a series of questions about the nature of your call. And if the reason for your call is a specific reason to push 1, if it's another reason, you push 2. If it's another reason, push 3. Then when you get there, they give you another list of questions. For this, push 1. For this, push 2. For this, push 3. If you're not sure what you want to push for, hold. Then when you go there, there's another one. Thank you. If your call is relating to this, push 1, this, push 2, this, push 3. Why can't a real person say, hi, thank you for calling ABC Company. How can I help you? What are you calling for? And I'll route you to the appropriate department. Why don't they have that anymore? Why are you getting the voicemail that says, thank you for calling XYZ Company? If you go to our website, you'll get better deals. So go there and don't call this number because it costs us money. So go to the website where you do all the work. You follow me? They keep driving you to the website so you have to do all the work and spend all the time because they need to make more money. But when you finally, after you listen to all the baloney, then they go, if you're calling because of a bill, press 1. If you're calling because you need to change some service, press 2. If you're calling because you want new service, press 3. If you're calling because you have service overseas, press 4. If you're calling because your sister-in-law has service, press 5. Then you push 5. Thank you. If you're calling it because your sister-in-law's service is not working, press 1. If it is working but you want more service, press... It's like, what's going on? Why do they do that? It's all about the money. It's cheaper. It saves the company huge amounts of money, knowing that the majority of people get frustrated and simply hang up. You see, companies want you to hang up. They don't want to handle your issue. That way, they don't have to take the call and spend the money on customer service. The pharmaceutical industry focuses more time and money on marketing than it does on the developing of new drugs. You don't think it's all about the money? Donald Trump has reported this, saying virtually all trading done at the highest levels is insider trading. You don't think it's all about the money? Time Warner reported that banks lie to you in order to make more money, and recently reported that there are 10 secrets or 10 specific lies that banks tell customers on a regular basis that cost the customer money and make the bank more profit. Newspapers, magazines, television, and radio commonly talk badly about all natural products, while at the same time running ads for products that they are not bashing. This is done purposely. It occurs most blatantly on websites. The bottom line is, if I'm going to advertise my drug or my product on a TV station, believe me, you'll never see anything written or talked about bad about my product if I'm giving that company huge amounts of advertising revenue. It's the most obvious on websites. Health food and vitamin companies are being gobbled up and either owned directly or indirectly by the pharmaceutical industry, all to make more money. Many newsletters or books promote certain supplements. Most people do not know that the owners of these newsletters or books are the same people that actually sell the supplements. This is misleading and fraudulent, but very profitable for the big corporations. Magazines and newspapers commonly run positive articles on products if those companies commit to large advertising contracts. Folks, this is fraudulent, and it happens virtually all the time. What it means is you can't believe anything you read in magazines and newspapers because you don't know if the article is really a payoff for large amounts of advertising that the publisher is going to receive later on. It's happened to me. I've had people call up and say, listen, we're going to write this big positive article about you if you commit to 12 months of advertising in our newspaper. That's what happens. There are people that are, quote, the professional shopper, the professional consumer advocate, and they go on national television to go, yes, I reviewed these various computer gadgets, and let me tell you the ones that I really like. And the person says, this one is the best. This one in this category is the best. This one in this category is the best. Sounds good, doesn't it? But they don't tell you that this woman or this guy is being paid by the company to recommend their product. It's a lie. It's a fraud. If you don't think it's all about the money. Companies routinely shift jobs overseas. The main reason, it's been reported that it is 25 times more expensive to hire an American worker compared to an Asian counterpart. Companies are only in business to make money and will continue to move jobs in production overseas where it is less expensive to produce the goods and services. Not convinced that the FTC, the FDA, as well as TV, radio, and news organizations are suppressing and censoring information? Well, consider this. CBS refused to air a 30-second commercial from a group that was critical of the Bush administration. CBS also did not air the miniseries The Reagans because of pressure from conservative groups and advertisers. Here's another one. I just received an email. When I wrote this book, by the way, I just got this email. Here's what the email said. This email that I got said this: print publishers depend on drug companies for a huge part of their advertising and may be reluctant to take an ad that antagonizes their best customers. All bets are off if the companies themselves actually apply pressure. That was in relation to my book. Publishers don't want to publish it. People don't want to run ads for it because I'm critical of the biggest advertisers. Disney Corporation wouldn't distribute a film critical of President Bush because it could jeopardize the massive tax breaks it gets in Florida on its theme parks. Remember, President Bush's brother is governor of Florida. It was reported that an industry insider was quoted as saying, "Should this be happening in a free and open society, where the moneyed interests essentially call the shots regarding the information that the public is allowed to see and hear. Think about it. The natural supplement ephedra was banned, but the pharmaceutical version ephedrin was not banned. The natural version was taken off the market, but the dangerous chemically produced synthetic version is still allowed to be sold. This shows how the FDA protects the profits of the pharmaceutical industry. The developer of an all-natural diabetes cure was offered $30 million not to market it. Jason Winter authored the book Killing Cancer, which has sold more than 1 million copies, about how he cured his cancer with herbs. By the way, if you go to my website, naturalcures.com, you can get that book plus his cancer cure protocol. He is quoted as saying, "I must tell you that I was scared about publishing a book talking about how herbs can cure cancer. I was not prepared to take on the billion-dollar drug companies, the medical associations, and doctors, all of whom would chew up and spit out anyone that would dare to say that possibly, just possibly, herbs could help." Winters outlines the typical fate of natural cancer and other cures that are advertised in U.S. publications. Usually, the publication gets into a lot of trouble for printing it in the first place. And then all future publicity is stopped. The person selling the products are usually tricked or entrapped into a phony suit about, quote, practicing medicine without a license, or, quote, selling drugs without a license, or, quote, selling unregistered drugs, or, quote, making unsubstantiated health claims. If the government can't stop them that way, they usually use another federal agency, the IRS, to attack them with some phony, trumped-up income tax charge. Those who practice natural medicine or sell natural remedies live with the knowledge that they could be closed down at any moment. Registered nurse Kathy Stevens promotes the benefits of magnets. However, she is forbidden by the government from using the word pain. She must only use the word discomfort. Otherwise, she is selling an unregistered medical device without a license and making a medical claim that is, quote, unsubstantiated. Kathy herself suffered from osteoarthritis pain for 5 years. Being a registered nurse, she was trained only in drugs and surgery. When her brother suggested that she try magnets, she laughed and scoffed. According to the medical establishment, magnets do nothing to reduce or eliminate pain or have any health benefits. Well, while at a family reunion, her brother had her sleep on a magnetic sleeping pad and a pillow, as well as a quilt containing infrared technology. Kathy recounts waking up the next morning astonished that she had slept the entire night without waking. She experienced absolutely no pain for the first time in 5 years. Kathy believes, based on her own personal experience and that of countless others, that anyone's osteoarthritis pain can be reduced or eliminated by the use of magnets. But she can't tell people what she has experienced for herself or even witnessed. If she does, she could be prosecuted and potentially arrested and jailed. In effect, she has lost her right of free speech because her opinions go against the monopoly of the pharmaceutical industry. Here's another one. Many times when you see an alternative healthcare practitioner, they have you sign a whole host of forms, disclaimers, release forms, and statements asserting that they are not trying to cure or prevent any disease, and that you are seeing them under your own free will. Because of our litigious society and because of the oppression by the government regulating bodies, these wonderful individuals, by risking so much, must take these measures in order to protect their ability to treat people who need their treatment. Vaccines are loaded with poisons. Those who get vaccines are more likely to become sick in the short term and in the long term than those who do not get vaccines. Still not convinced that the media is biased, deceiving, and lying to you about many topics? Well, then consider this. Bill O'Reilly has been quoted as saying, "The deception going on in the media is appalling." Here's one. I get approached all the time by newspapers and magazines, as I mentioned, with offers of writing positive articles about me or any of my products if I commit to advertising in their publications. News organizations often create fake stories by putting together groups of people to yell and scream for the cameras And the minute the cameras get turned off, everyone walks away and goes home. Most events you see on TV are actually staged by the news organizations. When you're watching a news story and they go, well, here we are in Iraq and in front of the embassy, you can see the people, they're really upset. Folks, the news organization just got a bunch of people together and said, listen, when we turn the camera on, start screaming. And there may only be 8 people there. And as soon as the cameras turned off, these people walk away. You think there's this massive event going on with all these people who are upset about such and such. It's fraud. It's just not true. Numerous journalists have been recently convicted of writing false and fraudulent articles. Journalistic fraud is now becoming commonplace. It is reported that many journalists are being offered financial incentives to write articles that present certain viewpoints. Many news articles are actually written by individuals who are on the payroll of the companies talked about in the article. An example recently was an article with the headline, "Despite known hazards, many potential dangerous dietary supplements continue to be used." This particular article was written by a medical doctor who was on the payroll of the drug industry. It isn't news. It's not true. It's not accurate. And it's certainly not unbiased journalism. It's a debunking campaign put out and led by the pharmaceutical industry to get people away from excellent, safe, and effective natural remedies and to continue to be brainwashed into believing that drugs are the only answer, and to be brainwashed into believing that drugs, because they're approved by the FDA, are safe and effective. Folks, the FDA approves drugs, they call them safe and effective, and then later they're found to be unbelievably dangerous and ineffective. All drugs are dangerous, and all drugs cause, not potentially, but all drugs cause medical problems in the body. Pharmaceutical companies, with the huge amounts of money that they have at their disposal, set up and pay for websites by the hundreds debunking natural remedies. Many of these websites are set up, paid for, and funded by the pharmaceutical industry and are domained in foreign countries. Usually, one group of people actually runs and maintains hundreds of websites. So an individual consumer like you or me thinks that there are all these independent people and organizations around the world saying how bad natural remedies are and how good drugs are. It's absolutely not the case. This is propaganda at its most flagrant form. Joseph Goebbels would be proud. The four basic food groups promoted for years was actually invented by, promoted by, and funded by the Dairy Association. The food pyramid today was put into effect by our government after massive amounts of lobbying by the food industry. The four basic food groups and the food pyramid have nothing to do with health and nutrition, but are designed to brainwash people into eating a certain way for the benefit of the food industry alone. The media hide the truth about the dangers of non-prescription and prescription drugs. There are very few articles written about how lethal over-the-counter non-prescription and prescription drugs really are. However, the number of articles that have been written and broadcast stating the dangers of natural supplements such as herbs, vitamins, or minerals are staggering. The fact is drugs, both over-the-counter, non-prescription, and prescription drugs, are infinitely more dangerous than any vitamin, mineral, or herb. There are virtually no reported cases of anyone dying from taking a natural supplement in its proper dose. However, there are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of documented cases that have occurred by taking over-the-counter and prescription and non-prescription drugs in its proper dose and having those people die. Through powerful lobbying, the Atkins and low-carb craze is at an all-time high. As I mentioned, I promoted the Atkins diet on television for 2 years, but after thoroughly investigating and researching the workings of the Atkins organization, I found it to be riddled with deceptions, lies, and fraud. Isn't it interesting that for years, no one in the news media promoted the Atkins diet as a healthy, safe way to lose weight? No one even heard of the Atkins diet, right? All of a sudden, out of nowhere, everyone is talking about how wonderful the Atkins program is. This is one of the greatest weight loss scams of all time. And you'll wonder why, from nowhere, the answer is a major Wall Street firm basically put up hundreds of millions of dollars into the Atkins program. And through their lobbying efforts, their connections, that's why you hear all about it. It's all about the money. Still not convinced that right now your body is loaded with toxins? causing you all types of illness, disease, depression, stress, and anxiety. This is one of the basic premises of the whole book. Well, consider this. People who golf usually come home with massive amounts of chemical fertilizer absorbed in their body from breathing the air and just walking the golf course. That's how toxic our environment is. All injections from Botox, collagen, insulin, and vaccines are loaded with poisonous toxins, as being reported. Many of these are animal-based and are filled with deadly pathogens and chemicals. There are so many toxins in our environment and food today that even people who live in the most remote parts of the world have been found to have massive amounts of toxins in their fat cells, even though the toxins do not exist in their local environment. Folks, this is a toxic world, and no one is immune. Right now, you are filled with toxins. There's no question about it. And it's having an adverse effect on your life and your health and your emotions. Because of toxicity, most people do not assimilate very many nutrients from what they're eating. Toxins make a person deficient in nutrients. Combine that with the fact that there are no nutrients in the food anyway. Still not convinced that the politicians and various government agencies are out of control and operating unpoliced? Then consider this. Did you know that there is a law that allows the government to walk up to you on the street and take away any money you have in your pocket, as well as confiscate any property that they want, such as your car or home, on the spot? Did you know that this can be done to any person living in America, and you don't even have to be charged with a crime, and you don't even have to be arrested? If you want to get your money or personal property back, then you have to file a suit against the government, and it could take up to 2 to 5 to 10 years. That exists in America. Scary, isn't it? Did you know there's a law in America right now that allows the government, any police officer, any government agent, to take any person living in America and without arresting them and without charging them with a crime, that means you, they can take you and incarcerate you for an unlimited amount of time, years, without charging you with a crime and without arresting you, and forbidding you to have any contact with anyone, including your attorney. This person, you, has not been arrested and not charged with a crime. You can be held and incarcerated for years and denied all access to the legal system. But I am talking about America. When I was talking to somebody one day, he goes, "Oh, you're talking about the Gestapo in Nazi Germany." And I said, well, they had this same ability, but I wasn't talking about the Gestapo in Nazi Germany. I am talking about the American federal and local agents, police. Any agent can do this, virtually. It's absolutely true. And most people just don't realize how much the U.S. government is becoming virtually like a police state. Did you know that Congress makes themselves exempt to virtually every law they pass? It's unbelievable but true. Congress will pass a law requiring, for example, handicap access to all businesses, but makes the government exempt. It will pass a law requiring mandatory retirement, but makes themselves exempt. The government has changed the definitions of some of the most basic things we know of. Example, there was a reported list of the healthiest states in America. Health, in this particular survey, was defined as the number of hospital beds per 1,000 people and the percentage of children who got all their recommended vaccinations and drugs. They were defining the healthiest states as the states where the most people were getting and taking the most amounts of drugs and surgical procedures. How insane! The definition spices now includes, as I mentioned, thousands of deadly chemicals. Roast beef doesn't have to be roast beef anymore. It can be a manufactured product and still be called roast beef. The list goes on and on about how the definitions of words don't mean. All natural, for example, doesn't mean all natural. It could be anything. But the lobbyists go in there and get things classified as all natural. Did you know that if you have a child who's been diagnosed with cancer, not giving that child chemotherapy and drugs can be a criminal offense? How insane is that? Politicians who are on the payroll can spend 80% of their time when running for re-election on re-election campaigns. Think about that. This is a total scam. If a person had a job and decided to run for office, he would not be allowed to take 80% of his time away from work and spend it running for political office. He would have to resign from his job so he could spend time in his new pursuit. But politicians, however, stay on the payroll whether they do their job or are running for re-election. It's another an example of how government is out of control and they write their own rules to protect themselves. The government, for example, promotes and pays for, in many cases, via grants, watchdog groups, but no one is asking who formed these watchdog groups or who started them. Many of them get their money from, in addition from the government, but they get their money from various corporations and foundations in which these watchdog groups are then taken care of. Did you know that most watchdog groups, which appear to be consumer advocate groups or government-backed groups, are actually funded by big business whose objective is to promote the industries or companies they are funding? These are not watchdog groups at all. They are propaganda organizations used by big business and allowed to flourish by the government. Still not convinced that the FDA is working with big business and major drug companies, allowing them to deceive the public and flood the public marketplace with dangerous products like drugs? Then consider this. Cigarettes are obviously bad. We all know that. However, they're the only product in America where the ingredients do not have to be listed on the label. Now, how can this be? Consider that the FDA is in charge and that the politicians who receive huge amounts of donations and lobbying by the tobacco industry tell the FDA what to do. The obvious connection between the FDA and Big Tobacco is exposed on the website crazyworld.com. Highly recommend you go to crazyworld.com. It's a great website. Federal law prohibits the FDA from using experts with financial conflicts of interest. That's the law. But the FDA has waived that restriction more than 800 times since just 1998. Although the FDA does not reveal when financial conflicts exist, since 1992, it has kept the details of any conflict secret, so it is not possible to determine the amount of money or the drug company involved. This is so scandalous. Two recent articles, both run in Reuters News and USA Today, reported that well over half of all the experts the FDA asks for advice on which medications should be approved for sale, they have a direct financial interest in the drugs or topics they are evaluating. Over half of the experts that the FDA is going to, they have a financial interest in the drugs they're making a decision on. So if they say yes, they stand to make tens of millions of dollars. What do you think they're going to say? These financial conflicts of interest typically include stock ownership, consulting fees, or research grants. The USA Today article stated these pharmaceutical experts, about 300 on 18 different advisory committees, make decisions that affect the health of millions of Americans and billions of billions of billions of dollars in profits for the drug companies. With few exceptions, the FDA follows the committee's advice. The scary part is these people who make these decisions have a direct financial interest and financially benefit based on the decisions they make. The USA Today article concluded that at almost 100% of the meetings, at least one member had a financial conflict of interest. At over half of the meetings, half or more of the FDA advisors had conflicts of interest. Conflicts were most frequent at the 57 meetings when broader issues were discussed. That's the scary part. 92% of those members had conflicts. At the 102 meetings dealing with the fate of a specific drug, almost half of the expert had a direct conflict of interest. Folks, this is not right. It's categorically not right. You have to see that this is all about the money. The pharmaceutical industry has more influence with the FDA than anyone realizes. In the May 19th edition of the prestigious medical journal Lancet, the editor claimed that the FDA had become a servant to the drug industry. An example, even though there are multiple deaths caused by certain drugs, the FDA does not recall them from the market, but simply suggests adding a warning. The LA Times reported that the FDA has withheld safety information from labels that physicians say would call into question the use of those drugs. Since 1993, at least 1,000 people were killed by drugs that were approved and should never have been approved by the FDA. Before 1990, 60% of drugs submitted to the FDA were approved. Today, over 80% are approved. They're almost always approved. The Los Angeles Times reported that 7 killer drugs that were approved by the FDA were so deadly that they had to be withdrawn. But before they were, they generated over $5 billion to the pharmaceutical industry. Most shocking is the FDA knowingly puts children at risk, according to the article in the LA Times. The agency never warned doctors not to